My eyes are ever towards the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the snare. Look thou upon me, and have mercy on me, for I am alone and poor. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Be ye therefore followers of God as most dear children. St. Paul tells us in the epistle, and walk, he says, in love as Christ also hath loved us, and delivered himself for us in oblation and sacrifice to God. This is a reference to the passion and death of Christ. He offered himself in oblation. For this we are preparing ourselves every day of Lent. For this we have the fast and the abstinence that we are obliged to keep during these days. We are asked by the Church to fast, to restrain our bodies, our bodily appetites, and we are supposed to also restrain our minds, to fast in spirit by not indulging in every whim and want of our imagination or our thoughts, but to, as much as we can, fast, that is, you have less of those things, those thoughts of the world, and to think more about the things of God. All of this, this practice that we, the things we exercise during Lent, and the acts of charity we are recommended to do, the things we give up, it's all in order that we can better understand, better appreciate, be more touched by the passion of Christ on Good Friday. And this fruit for which we are laboring during Lent is something very tangible. It is something that you can find a great joy in should you taste it. And so, with St. Paul, is following his advice, walk as children of the light, and you shall taste the fruits of the light. This fruit of Christ's passion, it gives joy amidst the greatest of sufferings, and it is something that we can cherish all year round, all life long, and something we can cultivate all life long. During the Gospel of today's Mass, Christ is casting out a devil. It says the same was dumb, the same man, and when he had cast out the devil, this dumb man spoke. The multitudes, they were in admiration at this. Every man who sins, who loves sin and lives in mortal sin, he has in him a devil, for he is the slave of the devil. He loves sin, he loves evil. The devil possesses his soul. Such a man is also deaf and dumb, for he does not heed the voice of God calling him to forsake his sin. He does not heed the voice of God to repent. He is dumb, he cannot speak because he cannot pray. He cannot glorify God, lift up his heart and mind to God, because God is his enemy. But by the mercy and love of Jesus Christ, such men are still called, and such men can still hear his voice. God efficaciously calls a man to repent. The man listens, and then the love of God returning to him, the devil is by that very fact expelled. The man is now able to hear the voice of God and to bless and glorify God. This we admire, and this we see in our day, time and time again. But some of them, the gospel continues, when they had seen this work, they said, he casteth out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. the scribes and the Pharisees, in thinking this way, they show plainly to us how entirely possessed by the devil they themselves were. For since every action of theirs, even those which seemed good, proceeded from evil intentions, from a wicked heart, so also they just judged every other man to be like themselves, of a wicked heart. They only knew their own actions, and they judged everyone accordingly. This we have to remember and be on our guard against, this sort of tendency, lest the devil lead us into the same blindness of the Pharisee. For when someone does a good deed, have you ever wondered why it is that suddenly there can arise so many and so vehement an evil interpretation within you? You find it hard to believe that he did this with a sincere intention. Why is it so hard to believe? Maybe he, in other aspects, is a wicked man. Or maybe he has for many years failed in several regards. Well, St. Paul has told us where sin had abounded, grace has abounded the more. That is, by the merits of Christ's passion and death, the sinners are converted. The grace to love God, to do virtuous acts, it is in everybody's reach, even the greatest sinner. And so we should not find it hard to believe that this action before me was done, and even done with a good heart, to please God. But then why is it hard to believe? Why do we object? Our very nature seems to object to this possibility. The answer may very well lie in your own lack of virtue. For where we, by experience, know that we cannot do well, where we fail often or even always to do a good act, we will naturally think no one else can do it either. And so if someone should appear to do so, we think they have cheated somehow. We think they must have an evil intention. But no, unless you have a very solid reason to doubt someone's reasons, intentions, you should rather just humble your opinion of yourself on those occasions, and then try to imitate that good example. Take it for what it is. Thank God for giving his grace to your neighbor, for giving you an example in your neighbor to follow. If you do this, you will be walking as children of light, not seeing everywhere darkness, as children of darkness do. The gospel continues, seeing their thoughts, he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself shall be brought to desolation. And if Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? It seems incredible that the Satan himself is said to have a kingdom. His kingdom is indeed of this world, of worldly men, those who hate God. He rules all those in hell. How does he rule them? They're all united in one purpose, in their hatred of God and anything that is God's. This sort of unitive force of hatred, we know it well, us men. the enemy of my enemy, as the saying goes, he is my friend. And many people in the world today, you see it more and more, and that's always a sign of the devil possessing people, controlling people, deceiving people. Hate is the common unifying principle of so many people today. But the love of God, it unites us more perfectly. It unites us eternally. So that if we, as Christ says in this parable, if we gather with Christ, that is, love Christ, and love one another for Christ's sake, keeping his commandments, no one can separate us from the love of Christ and of our neighbor. Not even all the forces of hell combined. And in the very last, in the end, all those who have hated, they shall be scattered. And so Christ says that he that does not gather with me scatters. For while hate has in perhaps united men with one another, they think they are friends. When they have died and are condemned to hell forever, there is no friendship in hell between the demons or any man. All hates everyone. Everyone will hate one another for being the cause of the damnation. There is no friendship, there is no love, there is no unity in hell. They are eternally scattered. Christ tells us, a strong man armed keepeth his courts. Those things that he keeps, they are in peace. But if a stronger than he come and overcome, then he will take away all his armor wherein he trusted, and his spoils will be distributed. This strong man is actually Christ himself. He's speaking of himself here. The devil had, by the sin of Adam and Eve, plunged the world into a slavery, and he ruled man. He lorded it over man, this sin. But when Christ would die on the cross, he bound the devil forever. The devil, it remains to this day, bound by Christ and his passion. The truth is he is just like a dog that has been bound to a chain. He cannot hurt you. He can bark at you, indeed, but he cannot bite you, except you draw so close to let him. And this is how he still hurts people to this day. People allow him to. But he has no power over any man that is not given to him by man. For Christ has conquered him. Christ tells us, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through places that are without water, and he seeks rest and does not find it there. Then he says, I will return to my house whence I came. When he has come, he finds the house swept and garnished. And then he takes with him seven other spirits more wicked, and entering in there, they dwell. And the last state of that man is worse now than the first. And this, he's referring to the Jewish people, the scribes and Pharisees and the rest. This is not what he speaks of. He's not speaking about every conversion. He is not trying to discourage a sinner from converting. For of old, the Jews, they were held in bondage. They were called out from the world. They were segregated from the world and given the law. They were the chosen people. And all of this was manifested, their deliverance from captivity, by what happened in Egypt. Pharaoh was a type of the devil. He held them as slaves. Moses came, and by the hand of God, he delivered the Jewish people from that captivity. They were led into a desert, a dry place. The devil cannot rest in a dry place. He could not rule over them. But with time, several centuries, the freedom that the Jews enjoyed, it became more and more something external. And the love of God and neighbor, something which belonged to them internally, it was being neglected. Hence it is said by Christ, the devil, returning to his house that he had left, he found it swept and garnished. But notice, he did not find it occupied as it should have been with the love of God. It was only swept and garnished, for as Christ said, the Pharisees, the scribes, they are like whited sepulchres. They clean the outside, they appear very nice on the outside, but within there's nothing but dead man's bones. So they are swept and garnished houses, but they are ripe for the taking by the devil. And so the Jews, in the end, they were more wicked than they had been in Egypt. They were in a worse state when Christ lived than when they were in Egypt in that terrible slavery. For they rejected the very Son of God in their blindness. What happens to the Jewish people, it can indeed befall any individual. And this we should take, therefore, as a warning, lest we be tempted to return to our former sins. For our last state will be worse than our first. And then in here, in the Gospel of St. Matthew, Christ adds, I say to you, therefore, whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But he that speak against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, nor in the world to come. This is a warning to repent while you are able, and not to put off conversion. Certainly, if at any time any man, no matter how many sins he has committed, how many times he has fallen back into sin, if he repents here and now and convert to God with his heart, he shall not die, but he shall live, saith the Lord. But if you fail to repent, if you do not ask God for forgiveness sincerely, certainly you shall not be forgiven. No one can repent, no one can sincerely be sorry for sin except the Holy Ghost move him to that act. You need what is called an actual grace, which is a movement of the Holy Ghost. He inclines your mind, he shows you what you need to do, and he gives you the strength of the will to do it. It's when your conscience goes you to confess, for example. That's the Holy Ghost. But if you reject that voice of the Holy Ghost and you do not act when he gives you strength, how can you be certain that he will move you again in the future in that way? Therefore, I am not certain. I will be sorry for my sins tomorrow. If I choose to love my sin today, what keeps me from loving my sin tomorrow? I'm not even sure I will have a tomorrow. But I know for certain that I have this present moment, and I can indeed pray now. The Holy Ghost is with me to pray, so that I can forsake my sin and repent. I can choose to love God. So do not delay, lest you offend the Holy Ghost. Christ ends the gospel today speaking about his own mother. A woman inspired by the Holy Ghost, lifting up her voice, said, Blessed is the womb that bore thee. Christ says, Yea, rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. He did not say this as though to mitigate Our Lady's honor as his mother, but he would add to it, if possible, and show us what we ought to imitate. and what we ought to look to her as for a model. For we cannot, any one of us, be the Mother of God. But we are all called to hear the Word of God and keep it. And Our Lady did just that. And she did it most perfectly. Therefore, walk as children of light in dry places, by fasting from food, by fasting from worldly thoughts, worldly occupations, entertainments, at least a little, and giving yourself more to the thought of Christ and His Passion, and by praying every day and in every temptation to Our Lady, who heard the Word of God and kept it. May God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son.